U248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Millions of people in the Northeast are bracing for some serious storms.
There is an extremely rare 4 out of 5 risk of severe weather east of the Appalachian Mountains. CBS News weather forecaster David Parkinson.
Everywhere, basically from New York to Atlanta, is in the threat area for severe weather today, and we will be seeing that pick up as the afternoon and evening goes on.
Severe storm Sunday caused widespread damage in parts of Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Jim Crisola, CBS News.
Federal offices are closing early in D.C. due to those storm warnings. The Associated Press is now reporting director William Friedkin has died.
William Friedkin won an Oscar for directing the 1970s film The French Connection.
What's my name?
Doyle.
What?
But was also known for the blockbuster The Exorcist.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Friedkin once said he never played by the rules, often to his detriment. He and a host of other directors, including Francis Ford Coppola, created a production company, but infighting quickly led to the group's demise soon after they turned down Star Wars. William Friedkin was 87. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Former Minneapolis police officer Tu Tao says he'll spend the next 5 years in prison without guilt about killing George Floyd.
I know we cannot hide our thoughts or intent from God, for we must give an account on the day we appear before God. Therefore, I must obey to hold on to the truth that I did not commit these crimes. My conscience is clear.
The judge says he was disappointed in that statement. He wanted more accountability and less preaching. Prosecutors have new concerns now about former President Trump. CBS's Robert Costa.
President Trump's lawyers have until 5 o'clock tonight to respond to the Justice Department's efforts to restrain what Trump can publicly say about this case. This comes after Trump has been raging about the special counsel, the judge, and others involved in this case, both on the campaign trail and on social media.
A woman's been arrested for trying to help Russia assassinate Ukraine's president. CBS's Remy Innocencio reports.
She was looking for the schedule for the president, for the location of electronic warfare systems and ammunition depots. That informant was detained, arrested after she tried to pass on that intel to her handlers.
Meantime, the U.S. Navy is keeping Russian and Chinese vessels at bay near Alaska, where 11 ships have been conducting military exercises. Republican Senator Dan Sullivan.
This is only the second time we recall them doing this. They did one of these last year. It was a smaller task force.
He calls this a new era of aggression. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every piece of land has a story. Some right there is behind the wheel of a John Deere 1 Series tractor, like the Upshaws.
This is my tractor, Penny. It's all about attention to detail.
But the Nelsons love cruising around their expansive Montana ranch in their John Deere Gator UV.
We've been here since 1868.
While the Caggianos drive a John Deere zero-turn mower to keep their Long Island brewery looking sharp.
Don't call me, don't bother me. I'm going out to mow for a couple hours.
Run with us and start telling your story. Learn more at johndeere.com/radio.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, August 8th. In Wood County, the Wisconsin Rapids Finance and Property Committee will meet at 4 p.m. in the first floor conference room at City Hall. The McMillan Memorial Library Services Committee will meet at 4:30 in the McCourt Conference Room. The Village of Port Edwards Village Board meeting will take place at 7. In Portage County, the Central Wisconsin Joint Air Force Board meeting will take place at 8 a.m. in the East Terminal Upper Level Conference Room B. The Executive Operations Committee will meet at 5. The Stevens Point Police and Fire Commission will meet at 2 p.m. in the Community Room on Michigan Avenue. The Village of Whiting Public Works and Parks Ad Hoc Committee will meet at 5 p.m. and the Village Board meeting will take place at 6. In Adams County, the Public Works meeting will start at 5. The Solid Waste meeting also starts at 5. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered storms tonight, otherwise mainly clear skies. Lows dip down to about 57. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 84. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Mainly clear. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 59. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 81.
Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Brought to you proudly by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. 3:06 on the clock, got your host, James J. I am joined by my partner in sports, Seth Habager.
Good afternoon, everyone. Wow, that was close.
It took you. You caught it, though. You caught it.
I did catch it.
Nicely done. Not on in the afternoons often.
I am not. This is very strange, yes.
Good to have you here, Seth. Good to have you all out there here with us. 424-2600. That is the number to call up. That is your job today, is this afternoon, is calling up with your sports takes and feelings. Mm-hmm. We're going to go shopping today, everybody. we are here in a Big Ten state, and so we are going to be talking Big Ten football a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Really conference realignment. And we're going to go shopping. I want to know what schools you want. Okay. All right? Everybody else is doing it. Let's go ahead. Let's go shopping. Let's go ahead and pick out some schools. We'll do that a little bit later. We're also going to be having Tyler Miller, Operations Manager with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, calling up and joining us here on the show in a little bit. Looking forward to talking with Tyler, as always.
Very nice.
The Rafters are so dang hot right now.
They are on fire.
Tyler can't be in studio because we have requirements. We have sprinklers. If he comes in, it's...
He's going to just make a mess. He's just set off the... Yeah, it'll be, you know...
Let's talk. Let's talk to you first. Let's go ahead and get the calls going here. Good morning on the show. Good afternoon. I know I was going to do that. I need to have a sign in front of me that says good afternoon and good morning. That's what I need.
I mean, what's the difference? By the afternoon, everybody's ready for a nap anyway.
That's true. You're so right, man. You're so right.
you can always call it a morning, but a couple of things I've been kind of waiting to be able to touch it with you guys. One, yes, the conference realignment. You might as well just have. Throw the whole country just north, south, east, and west. Plain and simple, no more conferences, because this is getting ridiculous. I mean, the Pac-12 is no longer going to be a Pac-12. I mean, they're gone. I mean,
it's a four-pack now. It's a four-pack now. You can get it for $1.99 at any gas station.
I mean, it's obviously money talks.
Yeah.
Those schools on the West Coast now are going to probably get on TV a little bit more earlier in the day because they're going to be playing in the Big Ten, so some of those games are going to start at 11 o'clock. I mean, granted, it's going to be, 8 o'clock out there, their time when the game starts for those early games. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't understand why they have to – it's just the Midwest. Let's get Iowa State. Let's get – let's get Notre Dame. Let's get the schools in the Midwest.
Yeah,
that's what the Big Ten is. It's the Midwest.
So I will say this, and I was going to get to this at a certain point. I do think that we have to look at this a little bit like how this is an experiment. And this is all going to come down to contracts. And most of these contracts are 2 to 3, sometimes 4-year contracts. So say USC, UCLA is here playing in the Midwest for a couple of seasons. Doesn't mean that they'll be here the next 20 years.
Yep.
I do think what's funny to me about this is very similar to cable and streaming. Streaming is slowly going towards the package thing. which is what cable always was. Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's, I believe, the brains that are a lot smarter than I am about this will tell you that's where this is probably going to end up, where everything's regional, which is kind of what it was to begin with. I mean, it just doesn't.
The more things change.
Yeah, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Right.
And I don't think that it's going to. What is interesting to me about a lot of this is how our whole lifetimes, all three of us, you out there listening, we've been told this wonderful myth of the student athlete.
Yeah.
And how we should focus on that, and how dare us want these kids? How dare we take away the pageantry and the tradition and the loyalty and everything it means to go to the same school your father and your father's father went to, and all these different things? And here we are, where we always thought we were going to be as fans. We all saw coming. It's such a beautiful example of a missed opportunity where college sports, the NCAA in particular, could have really leaned into that. And be like, no, you can't move teams. We're going to stay pack on this because we do believe in the tradition and the pageantry of college football. They could have leaned so hard into it while still getting their money. These TV deals were still going to be there. They just had to be smarter about it. Mm-hmm. If you're Scott in the Pac-10, or you know, whatever they want to call it now and everything, it's the Elon Musk of running something, where if you want an example, like a blueprint of how to, you know, bring something into the ground, either watch Brewster Millions or go ahead and see what these guys are doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting to the point where it is ruining. I look so forward to in the fall.
Yeah.
Get so forward to, you know, March Madness and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's going to be taken away. I mean, you know, that's one of the things I think I read over the weekend is what's going to happen with the rivalries out in the Pac-12.
Oh yeah.
You know, that USC-USC-LA game, you know, Washington State and Oregon and Oregon State and all, you know, those games, and it might even affect Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Ohio State, those big games down the line, because obviously they're going to have to play these guys. And I mean, it's a mess.
I mean, I don't think there's many other ways you can put it. It's a mess. It's musical chairs where there aren't enough chairs.
Right.
There's too many people and not enough chairs. There's going to be some schools left out. When I was joking about going shopping, part of what I was leaning in, what I was going with that is, do you want Florida State and Clemson? Do you want one or the other? Because those are the two partners without a somewhere to go right now, and they are leaving the ACC.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bet anybody anything right now that you want that they're leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just a matter of, do we want them or the SEC? Because before we get to that place of everybody going back to kind of their part in their corner in the room, we are going to have super conferences. I do believe that the Big Ten and the SEC, it's going to come down to those two. And it's just a matter of, you know, well, where do you want to go? You want to go over there or go here? You want to play in the South or you want to play up here? And I think that that's going to happen before it gets broken down into like four or five sets or whatever again. Mm-hmm. And that could be 20, 30 years down the line.
Yeah, who knows?
But I do think the super conferences, we're moments away from that. I wouldn't be shocked if in our show here today that comes up on ESPN.
It may pop up right now, yeah.
I keep on refreshing to see what school left now. I'm trying to see.
Right. You know, and if you can see how football is driving all this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Go ahead. I was just going to say real quick, we are so, and myself included, we're so focused on football, especially with the college football season like an hour away. Mm-hmm. I think that it's interesting what the Big 12 is doing, where they were left for dead. And they have an actual smart commissioner who was like, well, I can't get this, this, and this, but maybe I lean into basketball. Maybe I lean in and I get more basketball suits and I bring Arizona over that has a proud, you know, basketball tradition and that. And all of a sudden now the Big 12 actually may have a better basketball conference than the Big East, which is insane to me. The Big East was always king to me as a kid. I love college basketball, and that was always the king Big East. You wanted to play in college basketball, you go to the Big East. Now it seems like the Big 12 has got almost as much of a competitive conference as the Big East does, if not the most competitive conference.
Right.
So when you look at other sports, it looks you know, a little bit better in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, in the 90s, what conferences were the conferences you wanted to be in basketball?
you wanted to be in the Big East and the ACC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those guys, I mean, well, the ACC actually had a pretty decent football, you know, conference.
Yeah, too. they did at one point. Yeah.
Yeah, but now it's you look at the Big Ten. The Pac-12 was very good in basketball, which now it no longer will be Pac-12. Like you said, that's not going to be, you know, maybe, you know, when it comes to football, you're going to have the SEC and the Big Ten. And basketball, you're going to come down to, you might have three conferences. You might have the Big Ten, the Pac, or the Big 12, and maybe the Big East.
Yeah.
Those might be the three conferences in basketball, but it's just, it's crazy. But before I let you guys go, I mean, I might have to, you know, shift hats here a little bit and put director's cut in a little bit. Don't know if you guys had a chance to watch the Netflix series Quarterback.
Oh, no. My dad has been. I haven't gotten to see it yet.
You got to watch it.
I heard. That's what he was saying, man. Yeah, that's what he was saying.
It throws the more the perspective of what the quarterbacks in the NFL really, truly have to go through.
Interesting.
And I mean, I give them more, you know, the most respect, more than I ever have. But it's just, yeah, you get a chance to watch that show, James and Seth.
Oh, definitely check that out.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, and, you know, now I'm actually not all the way through the season. I'm getting into where now we're, you know, because they had Marcus Mariota on there. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting into that area where they, you know, they switch quarterbacks there at Atlanta midseason. So,
interesting. Oh yeah, I'm definitely checking that out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those shows you got to check out. So
thanks for the suggestion.
You guys have a great week.
You too. We'll talk next week. Keep the calls coming, everybody. That was a great call. 424-2600. Let's keep those coming. We are looking forward to a call from our good friend Tyler Miller with the Rafters. Looking forward to that. And might be calling right now. Let's go ahead and find out. Good morning. You're on the show. Let me try. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Oh, no. There we go.
We got you.
There you are.
Hey. Right.
There you guys are.
Hey.
Hey, we'll figure it out sooner or later.
All right.
We got to keep the lines open here. Tyler has just told me he's just trying to call through. Can we, what do you need, bud?
Yeah, no.
What do you got?
No, I'll call back.
Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you. Appreciate you, man. Thank you. Yeah, call right back. Otherwise, Tyler will be calling us any minute now. We'll go ahead and take that call off air. We'll take it on air, obviously, but we'll get the call going. That sounded bad. We're going to talk to Tyler during the commercial
break. You don't get to listen, though.
You don't get to hear it, though. No. Tyler's calling. Call us up during the commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun here. Here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by our friends at Quality Post Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR.
What?
I'm not understanding.
Having trouble getting your message across? Come visit us at Quality Plus Printing. We'll design and print engaging materials that will help your customers learn more about your business, your team, or your event. We can help you with flyers, letterhead, forms of all types, business cards, posters, brochures, and so much more. We'll make you look wicked awesome. Let there be no doubt, at Quality Plus Printing, we'll get your words out.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
I've got some cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin?
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular August 3rd through the 13th.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered storms tonight, otherwise mainly clear skies. Lows dip down to about 57. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 84. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Mainly clear. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 59. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 81.
Welcome back to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, and we're joined right now on the phone by our good friend, operations manager of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, Tyler Miller. Tyler, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
Doing good.
How are you doing over there?
We're doing good.
Still, I heard your comment earlier. Again, sorry, I can't make it in the studio. I don't think they would have let me pass with all the fire that I
started. We got some great fire marshals in this area. And yes, Tyler, I do not think they would allow you in the building. I'm not sure you're allowed outside right now. You might combust, man. It's already getting warmer out there.
I know. I've been locked in the ticket office.
Trying to keep cool.
Tyler, it is no secret if you are paying attention to the rafters. They are hot. It has been a great, great last couple of weeks of the season. I don't want to say changed or shifted with the team. It may feel like that, I think, to some, but like Seth and I and I'm sure yourself, Tyler, we've been paying very close attention to this team. And even during losing streaks, we saw them out hitting teams. We've seen this team being so close to wins and not getting them at times. This kind of hot streak that they've been on, and I don't mean just the winning streak, I mean even before that, it was some of those games. Was there a change in the clubhouse, or is it just kind of things have been gelling?
No, I think it's fully things have just been gelling. I think it's something that, again, sometimes you just get unlucky. They've had some tough fights out there. Some of the losses that they've had, they've continued fighting in. I love how you mentioned, some of the losses were even out hitting the team. So it's little mistakes here and there. It's the walks. It's some of the errors that we've been talking about. But overall, no. I mean, sometimes it's just the nature of baseball that you can play your best, and sometimes you may not end with a win. So I think things are starting to come together. The team's starting to come together. The team that we have here now is pretty much the team that's going to stick it out towards to the end of the season. And thanks a lot. It's just falling into place at the right times for the Raptors.
There's nothing like controlling your own destiny in sports, mm-hmm. and it feels the Raptors are taking their own destiny in their hands as much as they can. Regardless if you make the playoffs or not, you win out, and at least you can keep your head up. Is that kind of the attitude in the clubhouse right now?
It is. I mean, these guys want to compete. I mean, that was the nature of it, of even the guys who were here in the beginning that probably knew they would be leaving. I mean, that's the craziest thing to me, is we have guys that will come here for the first half of the season. They could compete and win a bunch of games and clinch that playoff record, or that playoff spot, but they don't even play in the playoffs because they have to go back to school.
Right.
So it's just, these guys come here, they want to compete, they want to win. And again, it helps us now that we're in the end of the season and have a bunch of new guys here, but the guys that came before wanted to compete, wanted to win, and now that we're in the position we're in, a game back out of first place.
Tyler, when it comes to last night's game, it's certainly nice to win. It's nice to win a series finale. It's really good to do it against your rival. It just feels a little different. It also felt like a playoff game. Did it feel like that in the to the guys around the team? Did you get that vibe from them?
I could. I mean, you totally could, and especially after Saturday, they wanted it a little bit more. I want to say that was our sixth or seventh game against Wausau in the span of 8 or 9 days. So we saw a lot of the Woodchucks recently. The way the roster situation is right now, there's a bunch of guys from the UW schools, and so a lot of these guys even play against each other in their college careers. So some of it means a little bit more, too, when you're in the summer league and they're wearing opposite jerseys as well. Even your teammates, it's always good to, maybe strike out your teammate every once in a while over the summer. So, again, I think yes, beating the Woodchucks is always nice, but I think the biggest factor in yesterday's kind of mentality was after getting swept on Saturday during the doubleheader. These guys wanted to come out and compete against Woodchucks in the last game against them.
Hey, Tyler, I had a question, or I don't know if it's a question or not, but we found out, or just we learned recently, that Brandon Bobo has now the all-time Northwoods League holder of home runs, which is awesome. I mean, he's been here for, what, is it 2 years now? But how is it to have that person from the rafters, to have it from your team? That's got to be really cool.
It's incredible. Again, I'll kind of take a step back, and we've talked about Bobo multiple times. It's probably the biggest key success in last year's season, just the way he came in and dominated and really brought this team together. Again, the one thing I'll say before getting into his baseball side of talent is the guy is a genuine nice guy. I said it in one of my posts that I had on my personal account. It was I was following him around after the game, and he was about 45 minutes was still signing autographs from the little kids that were out there, and just wanting to take a picture with him after he broke the record and have him sign a ball. And The little kid who actually went out and got the home run ball that broke the record, he brought it back to Bobo, and he traded his bat. He gave him a signed bat.
Wow.
And so, again, it's just a really cool opportunity. And now kind of going on to the baseball side of it, I mean, this league's been around. It's celebrating its 30th year this year, and the record is stand tall for 28. It was a record that, yeah, it's basically a career record. So last year he broke our franchise home run record in a single season, which was that 17 number. Mm-hmm. He was a couple away from breaking the single season kind of league record. But again, a unique opportunity. He was able to come back and just it seemed like he picked up right where he left off last summer and started hitting home runs in his first couple at-bats. And so, yeah, now he is now the all-time career Northwoods League home run leader for, I would assume, what will stand tall for hopefully another 28, 30 years.
Yeah, and it couldn't happen to a better kid. You're so right about that.
No, exactly.
Yeah. His first season, he came in for a Meet Your Rafters, and he's got one of those presences to him where you get a good vibe from the person right away. You just like you root for all these kids. But in so many ways, you want success for them in just in life in general, let alone as ballers, as players and everything. And when it comes to that too, I'm looking at the 2016 banner. I mean, we love winning. We love championships. Yeah, yeah. That's what we all want and everything. But I also appreciate out of the fan base, not just our Rafters, but really in the Northwoods League, we get it that it's about these guys and fulfilling their dream and chasing this down. And the success of that is not just for them, but for all of us. Ben Zobrist still talks about his experiences with the Northwoods League. Guys like that, that's when guys like Bobo do this kind of stuff, they're going to go off and do other things, and they're going to be talking about the Northwoods League. It's just going to help promote this team in this area, really.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I mean, yeah, you get, in a league, again, the way the league plays their cards and stuff. I mean, the guys like Pete Alonso, the Max Scherzers, the Chris Sale. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the top three that the league always kind of, focuses on. But, I mean, they still talk about the impact that their respective teams had in their career and what coming up here to the Northwoods League. And truly, like, again, the one thing that I think is the common denominator in all this is just the intense schedule. I mean, it's the 72 games in 75 days, and it's the closest thing to a real minor league or major league schedule you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the one thing that our field manager, Kirk Schreider, always says is, you're going to find out whether you want to play baseball or not. And you're going to find out by the end of this summer.
There are
some guys who come in there and go, okay, yeah, I like playing college ball. And, again, I'm going to school for this. And I think that's probably, I know I'm not going to make it in the, professional. And so, but again, you just at least get that experience to know what it's like to grind out the schedule and to have that intenseness of your summer when these guys could be doing, things that college kids do in the summer. They're putting that aside to play baseball and try to make it to the next level.
This whole staff, I believe this whole city is behind the Rafters and believes that we are going to make the playoffs, but nothing's guaranteed, of course. We do know that this week is guaranteed. We know we have another week of baseball here. As this is going on, Tyler, and you're building into the, you're hoping for a playoff run, all these things, what is your job with the team at this point to keep that energy going, to keep the vibe right, to keep the mood, the perspective positive, all of these things?
No, that's great. It's fun. Something actually that I just told our intern class on Saturday after that long doubleheader was, guys, this is it. We're exactly 7 days away. This was Saturday night. And so, the final home game is on, the final regular season game is this Saturday, the 12th. And I told them, I was like, guys, this is the last week. You guys came up here, put your summers aside, worked really hard to make this season happen and make all of our fans and players welcome and just kind of the whole atmosphere of what the Rafters are about. And so the one thing I'm really telling them to do this week is just soak it up. Think about the time you've had here. It's gone by super fast. It seems like just yesterday I was in the studio having the first one where we were
in the team
and going over some of the returners and doing some of that stuff. And again, now we're, six games out of being away, being done with the season, and playoffs are still in the picture. And so now that's actually what I was working on this morning, is if we have a playoff game, what that looks like and how some of that lines up. But really just focusing on Friday and Saturday's games and trying to make it the most of all of our fans, and hope it ends with two wins and gets us into a playoff spot for Sunday.
Tyler, you mentioned trying to work the schedule, looking through those things. Our own scheduler here, Pam, she's got her work cut out for her this weekend. Could you do us a favor? Could you just tell us, are we going to make the playoffs or not? Are we going to? No.
Right? What
if we could?
I said we're in. Right.
Yeah.
We're in, everybody. appreciate the time, as always, Tyler.
No, James, you guys are great. Appreciate you guys. Again, final two home games this week. Joe, you'll be on the radio in Mequon tonight and tomorrow. They just headed out there for a two-game series against the Chinooks and a couple games in Madison, and then they'll be back for Friday and Saturday here at Winter Field.
Be listening to every pitch, every win right here. Thanks again for the time, Tyler. You have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
No, of course. Have a good rest of your show, guys.
Thank you. Yeah. Roll
Thank
rats.
You. Yep.
Thanks.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and we'll talk about what we just discussed with Tyler. We'll get into some other stuff. We'll get into whatever you want. It's your show, everybody. 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation for Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on, along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered storms tonight, otherwise mainly clear skies. Lows dip down to about 57. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 84. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Mainly clear. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 59. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 81.
Welcome back to Playmakers, everyone, here at WFHR. Getting your words out with our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Big thank you to them. Let's go ahead and get back to the phone calls here. Good morning. You're on the show.
Well, good afternoon, fellas.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I get you on that every week.
In my defense, time is a flat circle. It doesn't matter anymore. So
it's all linear, brother.
Yeah. Really. That's what I'm going to lean on now. I cannot seem to correct that. So I'm just going to go there. What's on your mind today, brother?
Oh, well, I thought it was kind of funny when you put Tyler on the spot, because what he means to the Raptors and this community is, like, off the charts.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You know what's even funnier? That's what Seth and I were talking about during the commercial break. I'm not kidding, man. That's exactly what we were talking about, is how great he is and how we hope we have him for another couple of years. Like Chloe and Andy that left before and stuff. We're going to hang on to these people.
Yeah, I know, man. Or like Liz Kern, we got to hang on to these guys.
We're making them too good.
That's the problem.
I thought it was, you guys would understand, but I thought it was funny that he mentioned Max Scherzer and Zobrist and Pete Alonso, and he didn't mention Bryson Stott.
I was thinking about him
the other night.
Yeah. Had a great game.
He's had a great season. He's had a very good season this year.
Yeah.
How have you been enjoying? I know you've made it to the ballpark a bit. How have you been enjoying the season?
Oh, I love the Raptors. I am, and I always have been. I've been there since day one. But If you don't mind, I would like to pivot towards football.
Sure. College, pros, because, it's all pros now. What am I talking about?
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is Tyler is from Indiana.
Yeah.
And I was looking up some stats on this new quarterback those guys got.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he plans on starting the season at 6'4" and 255 pounds.
Whoa. That's a big one.
Yeah. It looks like he could play running back as much as quarterback. Yeah,
that guy's going to be a beast.
It might be actually a little bit funner. Indiana every once in a while gets these guys.
Every now and then.
Yeah, and they become a little bit fun to watch football-wise, which would be nice, you know, to be honest.
Poor Indiana.
As long as we're talking college football and everything, I wanted to get to this part of it too. In soccer around the world, they have these big super, you know, teams, these super conferences and everything. And there's, you know, if your team isn't good enough, well, you get knocked down to the sea level or something like that.
Right.
Do you think that will happen eventually to college football, where it's not a sea level so much as it is the Pac, the Midwest conferences, like where NIU is and the
BCS or something like that. Yeah.
The Atlantic Conference or something, you know. Oh, like how they used to have, where some of these teams, like in Indiana, like a Rutgers, like some of those schools, may get squeezed out of some of these super conferences. A Vanderbilt.
Yeah, like, regulated.
I'm not sure how Vanderbilt, other than just keeping their head down and being quiet, how Vanderbilt has stayed in the SEC as long as they have. It's amazing. The money that they're collecting at Vanderbilt off of the SEC is incredible. It's a business model to work off of.
I can sum it up for one word. Lawyers.
Yes. That'll help. Get yourself a contract, people.
Yeah, a good one. Yeah. Get a good lawyer. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Always appreciate the call, man.
All of all, baby.
Thanks for the call, brother. You have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, bud.
424-2600. Keep the calls coming, everybody. We want to hear from you. That's the direction that we wanted to go with the show eventually, was talking a little college realignment and everything. But we have been talking baseball. Let's stay there for a moment, Seth.
Okay.
Because I wanted to get a pivot from the Northwoods to the MLB.
Okay.
And I thought a good segue. You had a stat that you wanted to bring to us?
I came across a stat today, one of those weird, and I don't know if it's going to hold out for the rest of the season, but it'd be hilarious if it does. Right now, Max Muncy has more home runs than singles.
Really?
He has 25 home runs. He's got 23 singles.
Weird. I've never heard of that. I don't even know you can do
that's
that.
That's insane. Like,
how do you do that?
I know there have been players that have come close to doing that in the history, but I don't know if any player has ever hit more home runs than just plain old singles. That's bizarre. That's weird.
You know what? I think I may have thought it just, I don't know why this name popped in my brain just now, but if any player in MLB history, it might have been Deer. Rob Brewer.
That's the other name. I was thinking the same thing because good old Rob Deere. Yes, he was either him or Pete Incaviglia. Those two guys.
Like, yes. But Rob Deere, like nothing. I mean, good baller. Good
player. Yeah,
I wouldn't mind heading on the south side. But it was either a strikeout or a home run.
All or nothing.
He was way ahead of the game, actually. He was ahead of his time.
The only thing is he didn't walk at all. That was the problem. No, you can get away with the strikeouts if you actually walk a lot. He didn't walk a lot.
No, he
just swung at everything, and every now and then he would connect.
So when it comes to the MLB, I did want to get into a little bit of that talk, and thank you for that stat. Mm-hmm. That is, I will not. I'm watching that the rest of the season.
Look at that the rest of the season, out. Yeah.
We'll talk, you know, of course, the NL Central. That's our division here in the Midwest and everything. But if we could just look over a little bit to the AL East, where the Baltimore Orioles are three games up over the Rays.
Yeah.
Which at the beginning of the season did not look like it was even possible. I was hoping that Baltimore would make a wild card spot.
Yeah.
And now it's looking like, not only that, do we have to take Baltimore serious now going forward, but they're a dark horse. I don't see a lot of teams beating either Atlanta or Atlanta or Texas? Atlanta or Texas?
Texas right now? Okay.
I think, to me, those are the two teams that I would not be shocked to see win at all. I had to put money on the team, it would be between those two right now.
Okay.
But it's baseball. And it doesn't matter.
And they've added more rounds of playoff. Yeah. For me, that's the big thing. If you can get the, I mean, Atlanta looks like they're pretty well set at this point.
Yeah.
They're probably going to end up with the best record and everything. So they'll have home field throughout the playoffs. They have bye, all that kind of stuff. They look pretty set up. So that's what you want, right? But anywhere else, if you are anywhere else on the board, if you don't get that first round bye, you are vulnerable.
Yeah.
You are vulnerable to any wild card team that comes up there. We've seen it so much.
Saw it to the Mets last year. We've seen it to teams that we thought were a pennant team and get in on a wild card.
No one picked the Phillies to get to the World Series last year. They got on a hot streak at the right time, and that's exactly what happened. Baltimore is going to be interesting because and it was this the talk on the during the trade deadline was all they need a starting pitcher. They need a starting pitcher. They got one. It was not like a top of the line guy. It was Jack Flaherty, and he's not bad. He's like a middle of the rotation guy, but they're still winning. I mean, it's they don't have the best starting pitching. Their bullpen has been really good. It's been lately. They're getting tired. I think is part of it, but they've got all these young guys, all these young rookies and young players that are just playing out of their minds. And I'm with you. I love seeing the fact that I love Baltimore being on top. Like Tampa and Baltimore, the top two teams in the East.
Couldn't
who would have called
better.
For that one, man?
Right, yeah. This is why you play the games.
After what Toronto did in the offseason.
Yeah.
After, and there's always the Yankees. There's always the Red Sox. So it's I love it. It's great. It's crazy, but I love it.
It also speaks to, because when we were kids and it was all about pennant or nothing, it was, they'd always tell you, even when they had these dominating teams, well, it's baseball, you never know, and then you'd see the Yankees win or something like that. It actually is that now. Where you hit it on the head there with Philly last year. Not one person outside of the greater Philadelphia area had any, and even in there, especially in Philly, what am I talking about?
Yeah, are you kidding me?
No way they thought they were going to be in the World Series.
They were all doom and gloom, I'm sure.
So everybody outside of maybe the players on that team didn't think that they were a World Series team.
No.
Now it really is, hey, get in there and all bets are off.
Yep. Yeah, with very few exceptions. Yeah, yeah. That first round bye, I think, is so huge now. So, yeah,
you know, it used to be when we do these sports shows this time of year, you'd almost keep like, oh, I'm going to keep that topic on the side because we don't have anything to talk about. And now, of course, there's, in sports are 24/7.
Right.
The NFL doesn't take a day off, so that means none of us do. so there's always something to talk about.
Right.
But I think it'd be an interesting conversation to talk, especially if you guys called up a lot with the conversation of when we're talking college football, when we're talking baseball. Baseball, I remember when they first added the first round of playoffs and the pushback there was.
Yeah.
Oh, you've killed the sport. The sport has just died. It's no longer pennant or nothing. That was the one thing baseball had. You had to either win your pennant. Didn't matter how good you were. Yep. Nothing matters. But now, look at the ratings. Look at the growth in the fan base. Mm-hmm. Look at where they are. Where we can guarantee you almost that the last game of this season, somebody's going to be fighting to get in.
Yep.
And it's been that way for what? Every season
it seems like it's been for a while. Just look what happened at the trading deadline. Okay, it wasn't an overly exciting one because there wasn't like last year the big Juan Soto trade and all the big blockbuster things. But that's because so many teams were buying.
Yeah.
So many teams were in it. Mm-hmm. So they're like, no, we're not going to sell. There was only a handful of teams were like, yep, we're selling off kind of thing. And that's because everyone said, we got a chance.
Yeah.
And the more teams that you're able to do that, the more fan interest is going to be, which is a good thing for baseball. That's what they're trying to do right now is get people coming back. So
it's great to keep winning, but when you look at like the rafters and hey, we really want to get into the playoffs. It's great to get into the playoffs. We want to win a title, all that stuff. But what matters just as much is the ticket sales. And, hey, one more home game. Hey, one more, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that matters just as much as winning can in order to keep your franchise alive, to keep the lights on and everything. Everybody loves winning. Nobody's going to, but this stuff is just as important. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to that, okay, tradition of baseball changes. And here we see ratings, all these other things skyrocket. Looking at college football. We're looking at a lot of traditions that are going by the wayside.
Yep.
A lot of things that don't matter anymore. are we prisoners of the moment and making, you know, screaming that the sky is falling when really it's something that, for one, I think we all knew was going to happen.
Yeah.
And two, maybe this might end up being not such a bad thing. Maybe. I don't. Now, it's never going to be a good thing for the fan bases and the players.
Right.
That I think we can understand. Mm-hmm. Our caller hit it on the head right in the first beginning of the show. If you're a USC kid and you got to go play at Rutgers across the country, yeah. I mean, that's going to be a long day.
That's a very long trip.
That's rough. And you're not exactly paid to do this either.
No.
It's a big change. And you got schoolwork. You got all these other things. So I think that's understood, I think, by the majority of people that have brain cells out there. Right. But I mean, as far as fans, you know, the fan that is watching on their phone, the fan that is watching at home because maybe you don't live near your team, that's a big base. That's a lot. Of people. I don't think the University of Wisconsin's ever going to have to worry about selling out that stadium.
No.
No. And it's no different for smaller schools. That if they were filling that stadium before, they're probably going to after.
Right.
It's just, are we slowly moving towards where college athletics should have been all along? Where, you know, as fans, selfishly, we want our teams to play local teams. We like the rivalries. There's a storyline there. Mm-hmm. Even Indiana and Iowa playing has some notoriety.
There's something to it. Right.
But that's us here. The rest of the country don't give a dang about that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you care about the sport, you want to see the sport grow, you look at what the NBA does. Well, we'd like to keep it just in America, but man, they got a lot of people in China. They got a lot of people in Argentina.
Yeah.
We should grow this sport.
Look at how popular it is in Europe right now. I mean, come on. Yeah.
And there are people that are predicting that it could be literally just as big here as in Europe in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the growth of your sport. That is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't have the answers.
No.
And I'm not trying to, like, you know, whataboutism this or anything like that. I have my feelings and opinions, but you're not listening for my opinions. I want to talk to you. Let's have a conversation.
Right. I look at it in a different, you know, maybe I have a different perspective on this. I see the breakdown of all these conferences. And to me, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just one more rung that's being, you know, pulled behind as we're climbing up the ladder, because we've got, if you know, the rivalries are probably going to go away, at least in some point. As we get farther away from that, I honestly think at some point the all these college sports, especially the big money ones, the basketball and the football, once those get to a certain point, they are going to detach themselves from the universities, and they're going to basically become a minor league for whatever, or maybe even. Gosh, you could almost make the case that college football could become a rival league to the NFL. Now, wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, I'd like that.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Yeah.
It'd probably do better than the XFL. It probably would.
Way better. USFL.
Nice. Good morning. Good afternoon. You're on Playmakers.
Now you got me talking or thinking football, guys.
Yeah.
I actually have a question for anybody that might be listening out there. Do you know the history of Jump Around from Camp Randall?
Ooh.
I know. I've heard it before. It was so long ago.
That's a good question.
Yeah, but the thing is, that tradition started at Wando's Bar on University Ave, and I think Wando's was actually started by somebody from Wisconsin Rapids.
Huh. Oh, so there's a connection to here. Nice.
So, yeah, I was just wondering if anybody out there actually knows the history behind the owner of Wando's.
I have spent some time at Wando's. I would love to hear this too.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'd like that.
That'd be nice.
I'm purposely not going to look it up. I'm not going to look it up. I'll look after the show, and if we don't get a call today, we'll come back next Monday on Playmakers, and we'll talk about it.
I didn't know if anybody out there would know, and they, you know, call.
That's a good one. Yeah, appreciate that. That's a good one. Thanks, man.
Right on.
Have a good one. 424-2600, number to call up.
Well, you have to remember, too, the Badger football team has a very large connection to Wisconsin Rapids and this very station. Mr. Arnie Strope, anyone? The man who engineered that for so many years, the guy who basically created the whole network?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty big connection.
That's a pretty big connection. right there. God, if you got the chance out there, anybody got the chance to meet Arnie, too. Such a great guy. I feel so fortunate to have met him. Got to talk to him a little bit and everything, talk radio with him. Good guy. Very, very good human being. Let's go ahead here. Let's take our final break. We'll just get a quick break out of the way. We'll come back. We'll talk with you and have some more fun on Playmakers, brought to you proudly by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 57. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 84. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Lows dip down to about 59. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 83.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Playmakers. Seth and James here with you. Take you right to the top of the hour. 424-2600, call up and join the conversation if you'd like. I'd like to wrap up, though, in a couple places, and actually Seth was touching on it during the break there, because I want to get into the idea of what I think is going to happen and maybe what should have happened already, is that college football being its own thing.
Yes.
And all the other sports, then we get into alignments and conferences and all that.
Yeah.
But letting college football basically be the minor league pro football that it's always been. And,
yes.
And you said a phrase that I love there, Seth, the quiet part out loud. Talked about it, but now actually make it happen.
Yeah, because we've been hearing it now from these college presidents. They've been saying it on this whole conference deal. The reason they want to move, money. They said, we want more money. We want more money. That's it. And they're not even trying to hide it anymore. Yeah, I mean, it's really sad.
It kind of is. So I don't expect most people out there to be a history nerd like you and I, Seth.
Right.
But a lot of sports fans are big history nerds, and they don't even realize it. You know, they could tell you who won the World Series in 65 and stuff right at the top of their head, but they don't know who the 14th president was. You know? I'm one of these people, by the way. I'm not making fun of anyone. Like, I'm one of those people.
Franklin Pierce.
Nice. Thank you. I wasn't sure, actually. I wanted to pull it off, and I'm like, was it Pierce? I second-guessed myself. Nicely done. I'm wondering if anybody remembers or heard about the airplane conference before.
The airplane conference?
Yeah.
I have not.
In the late 50s, the Pacific Coast Conference disbanded because of feuds and money and a lot of scandals.
Okay.
Starting to sound a little familiar.
All right.
Keep listening. Five of those teams, Cal, Stanford, UCLA, USC, and Washington, decided for a bit that they'd rather form a new conference with schools from the other side of the country.
Hmm.
So this would be with our military schools, Army, Navy, Notre Dame, Penn State, Syracuse, also Idaho, Oregon State, and Washington State.
Wow.
Turned out that this didn't work. The logistics weren't just there in the 50s, and it was never going to happen. But it was like a night away from happening. If they could have just worked out the logistics and everything, they had met, they had talked about this, it was in place. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't get the plane rides and a lot of that part down.
Yep.
Sponsorship deals, different things fell through at the last minute, and it just never happened. Everybody went back to their respective partners, and we end up here today. But it just shows you how long they've been talking and thinking about this. Yeah,
this is that, you know, and it's funny because we've had the conferences for so long, we're pretty set. But before that, it was like it is now. It was the Wild West. Man, they would come and go. Teams would join. They would fall off. They would not be good anymore. Because, look, Idaho was in there. Yeah. You know, when's the last time the University of Idaho was in any larger conference? You know, this is not something that they do.
Or larger conversations.
For that matter. Boise State, yes. Idaho, no.
Yes. I wanted to touch on one other thing too here before we wrap up. Actually, I got a couple things, but one of them, let's say a farewell to the Pac-12. To the Pac-10.
It looks like it's
to the Pac-6. To the Pac, whatever it is.
Whatever
now,
you want to call it.
That four-pack they got over there in the West Coast. And boy, that conference gave us 11 Heisman winners, a bunch of national champions, a ton of amazing things over the years. And it was interesting. There was a point not too long ago that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 kind of came up with this mutual gentleman's agreement because a lot of people thought, we don't know what's going to happen to the Big Ten. It doesn't look good right now. This is before Rutgers and Maryland come in. And
it was still the normal, yeah, what we considered beforehand, yeah.
And by making an agreement with the Pac-10, oh, well, this is going to help us. This is going to solidify our brand, and we're going to be okay. And look where we are right
look
now.
Look what happened, I know.
The Big 12, like wow. people were going to, were look. The vultures were running around the Big 12 and looking at like, what do I want? What do I want? And Texas and Oklahoma take off, and that was the death of the Big 12. And now look at them, where they're going to be around.
Yep.
They're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Whereas the Pac-12, I mean, they got four teams that I can't say with any confidence are going to be there in the next week, let alone the next couple of years or anything. It's fascinating to see where it's going. And it's also like everybody use pencil. None of this stuff is staying.
No.
I don't
see. Get off that chisel. Get up that stone.
One of the biggest things that college football has for it is its pageantry. Mm. I genuinely don't think that certain rivalries are ever going to end. No. They'll work it out. They'll figure it out. Maybe some of your smaller rivalries are going to be interesting to see what happens with those.
Right.
But I don't think so many of those are going to go away. And let me just say one last final thing about college football. If you are that frustrated and that dismayed with all these other conferences, come to the MAC, baby. Come to the MAC. I've been a Northern Illinois fan for my whole life.
There you go.
I got nothing to worry about.
Hey,
nobody's fighting over NIU.
If I wanted to, all I would do is just pay attention to UW Whitewater. That's my alma mater.
Yes, yes.
They've got a great football team down there,
really
man.
Good
they win.
Team.
They win national champion just about every
left
year.
And right, yeah, baby, left and right.
I lived in North Dakota.
Yeah.
North Dakota State is a great football team. They win the championship almost every year. At least they're in the conversation.
I didn't even think of that. That's so true, man. Yeah, you could just root for
it's not teams. Just the big teams. You can still have fun, like. Well, you can still enjoy Major League Baseball and the rafters.
Yeah.
You can do both. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
We certainly will take your phone calls, 424-2600. But as long as I have a minute here, I wanted to make sure to send a shout out to Simone Biles. I think what she did over the weekend was beyond impressive to me. I'm a big gymnastics fan. I like all of our track and field and a lot of those sports in the Olympics. And growing up, my aunt was a big gymnast. There was actually before her car accident, some talk that she was going to be in the running or at least try out for the Olympics and everything.
Wow.
Simone Biles is the greatest to ever do it. She has proven that over
again. Not really.
She, of course, had troubles with the Olympics, and we know about her falls from with that and everything. Her bouncing back and not just, you know, showing up and everything. She dominated. She dominated over the weekend.
She's still there.
And proved, that, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, not only that she's the greatest at it, awards-wise and by records and everything, but she is a champion as well inside. That she has shown this, that what she has done as a human being to bounce back from something like that, like
that's a core of steel, man.
Man,
that is a core. She's strong.
We throw out there all the time, he didn't have his heart in it, or this and that. We try to act like we know what's in a person's heart or head or something like that. When we could have no idea any more than they can us. But she showed you her heart.
Yeah.
She ripped her heart out of her chest and showed it to us over the weekend and showed, I am a champion.
Yep.
I am the greatest to ever do this. If you get a chance to see any of her routines over the weekend, I encourage you to do it because the human body's not supposed to be able to do what she does.
No, that's it's almost uncanny. Right. And I mean, it's great plus because then we don't have to talk about the women's national team.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Wow, we did a whole hour and that didn't even come up. I'm a little shocked.
I think it's probably just as well it didn't.
I will say this real quickly on that. The greatest things in life usually come from tragedy and from falling, and not from winning all the time.
No, and they have had such a long string of success, and it was bound to end at some point, and maybe this is a wake-up call. Maybe this will just make them hungrier for the next time.
The United States Olympic team lost at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. What did we do the very next year? Dream team. Or not next year, but the next Olympics? Yeah. Dream team.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it, you know, these things that can be in the big picture a good thing.
Yep.
More Rafter baseball on your radio dial tonight. Be sure to join us. Our pregame kicks off at 5:50. The Rafter first pitch will be at 6:20 as the Rafters are taking on Lakeshore the next couple of days. Actually, we're going to be on the road for the next couple of days, 4 days here. We're going to be in Madison, or Lakeshore tomorrow at 6:20. Madison, the next couple of games, Wednesday and Thursday. Those are a little earlier, start 5:50 for those. And then back home against Green Bay on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a great week of games. Hopefully a playoff push and playoff run here. Every pitch and every win of Rafter baseball right here at WFHR.
Their destiny is in their hands.
And a little preview for you all, next on the 18th, a couple weeks from now, on Friday, our first our high school football game.
It's oh my gosh, can't believe it's here already.
Yeah, Randy's got to rest that voice. He's got Assumption versus Nacita coming up. That'll be our first college high school football game. So excited.